This is The Cutting Room Floor, with your hosts, Eric and Alex. The Cutting Room Floor features discussions that contain spoilers. Listener discretion is advised.
Troopers, I just received new orders. Our superiors say the war is cancelled. We can all go home. Bison is getting paid off for his crimes. And our friends who have died here will have died for nothing. But we can all go home. Meanwhile, ideals like peace, freedom, and justice, they get packed up. But we can all go home. Well, I'm not going home. I'm gonna get on my boat, and I'm going upriver, and I'm going to kick that son of a bitch bison's ass so hard that the next bison wannabe is gonna feel it. Now, who wants to go home, and who wants to go with me?
Hi, welcome back to The Cutting Room Floor. I'm Alex.
And I'm Eric.
Hollywood has, for better or worse, taken to adapting anything and everything under the sun into a film. There's been a long-standing practice of adapting books and plays, and as we reach the modern era, we've adapted comic books and graphic novels, which, like books, are a mixed bag with as many flops as there are successes. Fringe items have been adopted too. We've seen toys successfully translated to the screen with the Lego Movie and Trolls. The Emoji Movie, not so much. But there's one grouping of pre-existing material that just hasn't been able to make the cut. Video games. For some reason, video games just haven't been able to make the leap from the console to the big screen. In this episode, we're going to take a look at some of the worst offenders. I would say, fair enough, there have been good movies about video games.
Yes.
So Wreck-It Ralph is great.
Yeah.
I just saw Jumanji. That was a really good adaptation of the kind of a video game universe, but not based on something else. So when it comes to adaptations of already established franchises, it's kind of a crapshoot.
Yeah.
So,
which is kind of unfortunate, because there are a lot of good video games that have a really awesome story that could be really awesome, but they're executed so terribly.
Right. Oh yeah, no, it's just it's awful. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the most recent ones is World of Warcraft.
Yep.
Oh, man. So the thing about that was that it looked half like a live-action film and half like a video game.
Yeah,
A literal video game. Just because the CGI just wasn't up to snuff for what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
That's a different story, I guess, than what we're going to talk about. But
it was a bad adaptation.
Okay.
Yeah, it was made a little too much for hardcore fans. Like, they were going into a bunch of Warcraft lore that, like, I'm not a huge Warcraft fan. Mm-hmm. I like Starcraft more. But it's like, yeah, there's so much lore that it's like, the average moviegoer is not going to, what?
Right.
What's going on?
Right. So it's kind of relying on you knowing that without explaining it.
Yeah, I mean, it was just bad dialogue. And just, like, the story was okay.
Okay. Because we see that every now and then. This is a side tangent, but with comic book movies, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we talked about that in Spider-Man 3. Or if you know the Venom symbiote can absorb the memories of the host,
mm-hmm.
there's certain things that happen in the movie that make sense, but they never go on to actually explain it.
Yeah. My wife watched the Warcraft movie with me, and she's like, that movie was entertaining, but it was stupid. It wasn't like her reaction to Birdemic.
I know. There's very, very little that's going to garner that same reaction.
Yeah. So for the first batch, I have Mortal Kombat 1 and 2.
I've just heard of how bad this is.
Mother. You're alive.
Too bad. You will die.
Okay, the theme song is like one of the coolest, clubbing electronica like get you pumped up songs ever. Mm-hmm. Yes, they do use like dialogue from the game, like you're sitting there, it's like got some doom, 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 it's like finish it. Liu Kang, Sonya, and it has like the guy just like repeating all the character names.
Oh, that sounds awful.
It sounds awful, but it's actually really catchy.
Okay.
It's, at least I think it's a fun kind of upbeat, like,
okay,
yeah. So the, it has that. The first one is not, it's, I'm not saying it's a good movie, but at least the first one has the idea to be a movie first.
Okay.
It is, Mortal Kombat is about a tournament between, right, like, you know, you've got these alternate dimensions or whatever, and you've got the heroes of Earth that have to be, you know, gathered together to go into this, like, tournament, fighting tournament that basically whoever wins, you know, the bad guys win, then the Earth is, you know, kaput. You know, like, so, and the second one kind of continues that, because the first one ends with, like, the evil emperor showing up. They then have to deal with the consequences of that, but it's just... The second one is worse than the first one. Both of them are bad.
The first one is, while bad, at least entertaining.
Yes, yes.
But the second one is just
the second garbage. The second one is just garbage.
Like the first one you can at least enjoy for what it is.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, man.
Because
yeah.
Like, there are bad movies that we've watched.
Yeah.
But they're fun.
Yeah.
Like, you can, you know it's bad, but you can at least giggle at it.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the stuff that you're just like, I would rather burn my eyes out than watch that again.
Yeah. It's bad.
Okay.
Like, they just, the dialogue's bad, the fight scenes aren't.
The choreography's just terrible.
The choreography's not that great.
Okay.
And, I mean, honestly, yes, it was because of Mortal Kombat that we now have the ESRB, which is the...
right, the rating system?
The rating system for video games.
Right.
Because every other one's like, my children are playing a game where you uppercut somebody and they lose 5 gallons of blood?
Right.
You need to change, you know, like... So, I mean, I'm not saying... I was like, oh, well, they should have made this movie rated R.
Right.
Which they knew that it was a, you know, well, let's make it PG-13 because tons of kids love the video game, you know. It's just, it's a bad movie. The second one, like I said, is so bad. It has award-winning dialogue. Another funny thing about the second one, Annihilation, is they literally took the same opening credits to Mortal Kombat, but then they added another 10-second thing to be like, it goes like, the text appears, Mortal Kombat, Annihilation, you know, and it's like,
ugh.
It literally is the exact same opening on, like, the Mortal Kombat logo. Yeah, they added, like, an extra 10 seconds of, like, footage to be like, nope, this is the sequel.
You can't see this, obviously, but I've been facepalming the entire time Eric's been saying that. Because that is so lazy.
It's so lazy.
How do you even... Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, that just seems like... we forgot to do the opening credits. Okay. This movie comes out in 3 days. Just take the credits from the last one, and then we'll add something at the end to make sure you know it's a sequel. Like, yeah. How does that even happen?
Yeah, it's bad.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's just... like, well, then there's, like, other random, like... I mean, yeah, and the first movie has really hammy acting, mm-hmm. too. Like, the villain is totally hamming it up,
mm-hmm.
which maybe that's what he was trying to do. He's like... whatever, I'm in a video game
right.
movie. I'm
just gonna go way over the top
and stuff. Yeah, it's just, there are a couple bad movies.
Okay.
The next two, I originally only had the first one, but the second one is also bad. Street Fighter, the 1994 edition, and then in 2011...
Oh, good grief.
2010 or something. Yeah, basically, you know, 10 years later,
oh, man.
They came out with Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li.
Oh, jeez.
So the first one, it's not based off of a tournament or anything.
Okay.
It's your typical, there's a bad guy who wants to rule the world and destroy the world. You've got Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Okay. So it's already the acting is just...
as the character of Guile, and they just figured, well, in the video game, Guile is like, looks like, you know, he's a U.S. Army dude. So we're going to make him be the team... leader of, like, some, like, UN-esque, like, police corps, like,
okay.
type thing. So he has to go up there, and there's wonderful dialogue.
Oh, great.
So much wonderful dialogue.
My father saved his village at the cost of his own life. You had him shot as you ran away. A hero. At 1,000 paces.
I'm sorry. I don't remember any of it.
You don't remember?
For you, the day Bison graced your village was the most important day of your life. But for me, it was Tuesday.
This one, however, whereas Mortal Kombat actually, you know, they have their fatalities and mm-hmm. stuff, and this one, they don't really have, like, their superpower moves.
Right.
Like, you know, normally someone's supposed to do, like, lightning out of their hands
right,
or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, the bad guy at the end, he flies across, but he has these, like, magical boots that does it. Like, it's not like...
Okay.
They're like, well, we're going to make this basically somewhat grounded.
Right.
Yeah, it's just... It's a bad movie.
Okay.
So then the sequel... Well, the semi-reboot slash sequel...
Okay. So it's not even, like, a reboot. It's like a... Soft reboot, maybe.
Yeah, it's a soft reboot. Again, same thing. You've got the bad guy trying to take over, doing villainous things.
Right.
And you have Chun-Li trying to do her thing. And the thing is, though, I don't know if she ever had this ability in the game. I don't think she does. They took another character's power and basically gave it to her. Like, she has the ability to, like, cause some, like, energy, like, ball to, like, be shot out of her hands. That's not your power, Chun-Li.
Right.
That's Ryu's or Ken's power. Your power is to do, like, bicycle... Oh, no. Sorry, that's bicycle kicks with Liu Kang in Mortal Kombat, which they did, like I said, they did do that.
Right.
That was his finishing move, was like, I'm going to do the bicycle kick move, you know?
Right.
Yeah, but they gave her an ability to, like, do something really just... Yeah.
Because if there's one thing that fans really love, it's when you take... solid traits of one character and then don't use it or you change it
to a completely different character.
And it's okay if you have a reason for that, like a story reason, but just to do it for the sake of doing it is like...
Well, they made a story reason of like, you need to learn how to harness this power. And I'm like, she never had this power.
Right. Yeah, I mean, but... Yeah. I mean, yeah, so yeah. I mean, you've got to have at least a compelling... Let me put it that way. You can have a reason, but...
Yeah.
But, or you can't just have a reason. It has to be a compelling reason. It has to make sense.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they've got these good premises, or a decent premise, right. You know, and it's like, but it's like, we're gonna just, oh, it's about a game about fighting, a fighting game?
Right.
Well, what? How can we make a story out of this? Ah, forget the story. Let's just do whatever. Oh, let's have just little vignettes of fight scenes. That's
right.
What the audience wants to see. Right. The original Tomb Raider and then the sequel of Tomb Raider to the Cradle of Life.
I've seen this. Yay, I'm useful. I'm really hoping that this reboot is good.
Yeah.
The trailer looks cool.
Yeah.
The trailer looks really cool.
And it looks like they're basing it a lot off of the reboot
game.
Of the game.
Yeah. Which I think was pretty well received, too.
Yeah, I think it was.
And it kind of goes in a really different direction from the original.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, but it seems cool. I really want it to be, because Alicia Vikander looks the spitting image of the new Lara Croft, like the remodeled Lara Croft.
Uh huh.
So yeah, and I also want it to be good because the original one is bad.
yeah. You know, so, this shouldn't be that hard of an idea to adapt.
It's Indiana Jones, basically. I mean,
with a chick.
Right? How hard is this?
Yeah.
part of this is I like that the new Alicia Vikander looks like the new version of Lara Croft.
Uh huh.
Because she looks like a real person. I mean, it's kind of hard to remember, like, because what, Tomb Raider came out in the game, I mean.
The game came out in, like, 96, I want to say?
I think it was, like, around the same time as Doom 2.
Okay.
So, yeah, that makes sense. And the original version of Lara Croft had huge lips and a huge bust.
It's probably designed by a man.
Yeah. But the funny thing is, when it comes to casting... They went the same direction.
Yep.
Cue Angelina Jolie.
Yep.
Her getup in the movie is basically a black version of what she wears in the game. So a black tank top, shorts, boots, and then guns. And of course, I guess just because it makes her look tough, her belt buckle has a skull and crossbones on it. Because
okay.
Why not?
Why not, yeah.
I just don't get that. It looks silly. Uh-huh. Oh boy.
It was really funny to see Daniel Craig.
Right.
With an American accent. And like just starting that, I was like, wait, that's Daniel Craig.
Right, yeah, pre-Bond.
Pre-Bond Daniel Craig.
What year did this movie come out? Was this
like 2000?
Okay.
It came out in like 2000.
Okay.
Yeah, they kind of had an interesting thing with like time dimension stuff, which is, I guess that something like that could happen in the games.
Right.
Some weird supernatural thing. But like the very beginning when like she's in her house and like she's fighting against her combat robot with mm-hmm. really bad CGI, and like then they have the bad guys invade her home and she's in her like bungee jump like thing, so she's like doing combat moves and like this bungee jump like get up, and you know they do the typical like does her little like tough girl cocks her head look,
right,
and then proceeds to like just beat him up like crazy,
right,
and yeah, it felt like a video game.
Mm-hmm.
It does. The second one, which people actually fly, you should see this movie right now. That was actually an ad.
Oh no! Oh, that's gosh. What they said.
It's like in the Tomb Raider, the Cradle of Life. You'll get to see an amazing stunt. People actually fly.
Oh.
And by actually fly, they mean being in Skrull. being in the Skrull suits.
Oh,
so
no!
They're gliding.
Oh, gosh. Kill me.
The second one, to its credit, felt like an actual movie.
Right.
It felt like a legit
I've heard
movie.
The second one is... I never saw the second one. I just saw the first one. I heard the second one was better, but at that point I was like, no, that first one was garbage.
Yeah. The second one was a better movie.
The first one, I mean, it was bad, but it just strikes me at how unmemorable it was.
Uh-huh.
It feels like... It felt like generic action movie with female lead character. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah.
It's just... there's only a few scenes I can actually remember. She's in that cave thing where she's fighting some weird creature.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I remember from that was like she reloaded her guns in a cool way.
Yeah.
That's what I remember, you know? And then she speaks to her deceased father. I watched that clip on YouTube and it played out differently than I remembered, which kind of speaks to itself, though. Mm-hmm. Like... It was really unmemorable. I remembered that scene happened, but how it played out was just like, man, I had the details all wrong.
Yeah. So the next movie I have is The Prince of Persia.
This was the Gyllenhaal one?
Yep.
You know, because there's nothing like a white guy to pull off a Persian role.
Yeah. I think I think this also suffered from people, a lot of cries of like, there are tons of amazing Persian actors.
Right.
Why are you whitewashing this?
Right.
You know, so there was that. You know, the...
But, I mean, weren't the other characters more Persian looking? Or was it, like, completely whitewashed?
Well, you had Ben Kingsley as the villain, but Ben Kingsley also played Gandhi.
Right.
So...
When was that, though?
That was back in, like, the 80s.
Yeah. I mean, I can maybe... Not for... Not forgive that, but I mean it was a different time. That thing was more prevalent then.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I think now this is a weird side tangent I'm going to go off on.
Okay.
but now when you've got more of a globalized world and you're more aware of not just culturally aware,
mm-hmm.
but aware of other actors who fit the description of those characters,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense, like.
Yeah.
It just kind of makes more sense to be like, okay, this takes place in Persia. We should have Persian actors,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
As opposed, I mean, like it would just, it's as ridiculous as being like King of the Congo and the King of the Congo is a white guy. Like why?
Yeah.
You know, why would you do that? You know,
I mean, like, I guess, it's hard to kind of tell the nationality of a video game character, but, like...
Right.
I would say the avatar for the prince in most of the games, he doesn't really look Persian.
Okay.
But then again, the princess does. She has a very, like, Jasmine-esque mm-hmm. type, you know, look to her.
Right.
Yeah, this, I mean, yeah, the premise of this movie is, you know, it's like, you have a magical dagger that,
Sorry, for a second I thought you were going to say magical dad. I'm like, what? I misheard it for a second. I'm like, you have a magical dad. What? Okay, sorry. Magical dagger.
Magical dagger that can basically go back, make you go back in time.
Okay.
Which, that's the premise of the first game, is like, every time you screw up and die, you tap a button and you watch your character reverse through the move that he just did. And you're like, okay, I attacked from the left, but that didn't work. So instead, I'm going to leap over this villain and, you know, stab this grunt in the back.
Okay.
And that's the whole point of the thing. Is like, or you make a jump. It's also very much a parkour game. It's like,
okay,
I attempted to make this jump. Oh, crap, I completely failed. Rewind time. And,
right.
So that's the basic premise. So the effects were kind of good, but then you get really stupid things. Yeah. Like, the prince's father gets murdered in an almost laughable way. The evil advisor guy basically gives him this, like, fancy... Like, they if I remember correctly, they sack this rival country, and the princess is, you know, is part of the spoils, you know?
Right.
And, like, so they're like, here, we found this thing, you should... So they give the king this, like, cloak. Like, so the cloak, he puts it on, he's like, oh, this is so nice. And then, like, the cloak has, like, fungus or virus or something. Basically, the guy's like, oh, I can't get it off, I can't get it. And he's, like, shivering. And then, like, he, like, ends up dying.
Okay.
Because, like, there were, like, flesh-eating scarabs on the inside of it.
Okay.
Or so I can't remember. Basically, it was hilarious being the guy, like, I can't get it off. And he dies.
Okay.
So there's that. And then I literally turned to it like, well, how are we going to get into this city? Well, we'll do this, and then we'll go and scale this wall, and na-na-na-na-na. The camera literally panned through the city, and it's like...
Oh, good grief.
And it goes like, and we'll end up there at that window. I leaned over to my friend like, your objective is
right
to do this.
Yeah, no kidding. That's exactly what it sounds like.
It literally was the, like, here's your objective, camera angle. And
good,
I'm like...
Good grief.
Wow, that is bad.
That is
bad. Then, of course, because it's a movie about time travel, which I should have seen this coming, at the very end, you know, they have this giant magical sands or whatever that caused the ability to go back in time.
Right.
The prince, you know, slams the dagger into it, and then, of course, goes back to the, zooms back out, and it's back when he first grabs the dagger.
Okay.
In the first 5 minutes, but he has all the memories of, like...
Uh-huh.
Everybody okay, else. Everybody, hey, arrest that evil advisor. He's right. Bad, you know.
Like, right.
It's, yeah, so the effects were good, but just, like, some of the act, again, it's video game, so of course, it's campy acting.
Right.
And, like, just.
Didn't this one have Marion Cotillard in it?
It didn't have Marion Cotillard. It had,
I'm thinking of something else, then.
No, it, not Gillian Anderson, that's Scully. it's the girl who played the chick in Quantum, the secretary.
Oh, Gemma Arterton.
Yes, that's who it had.
Okay.
That's who it had.
Okay.
They have a cool concept or something, and it's like...
Right.
You can make this so cool, but...
Yeah.
It's so bad.
Well, and it's funny that you mentioned, like the special effects, right? I mean, those can be so cutting edge.
Yeah.
And, but it doesn't matter if the story's garbage. Like,
yeah.
It just doesn't... And great, you might get nominated for a Best Visuals
yeah.
Oscar, but,
yeah,
you know, congratulations. That's going to the team who designed it, not because the story's good.
I never saw the Assassin's Creed movie.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Marion Cotillard, I think, was in that one.
Yeah, she's in that one.
Okay, that's the one I was thinking of.
Which, that, I didn't see it. I heard it was terrible.
Yeah, I did,
but,
too.
That one, at least, they took elements of the game. You got the evil corporation. You've got this whole Templars versus Assassins thing,
right.
Which was in the games. But unlike, rather than just let's adapt to the first game, they actually made their own story about, like, okay, well, we've got this guy who has, you know, he was a descendant of Assassins. So
right.
Rather than having it be some, you know, random guy, we're going to make our own story.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've had games that take place in ancient Jerusalem, Italy,
right.
You know, it's like, we're going to make it be in the Spanish Inquisition era.
Right.
And we're going to make our main character be a convict who is on death row, who dies, but then we actually revive him and
okay.
make him... So I'm like, okay, that's a cool idea.
Right. I mean, I would almost, when it comes to these things, I'd almost rather see them go that route. Yeah. Don't adapt the game. Just use the premise and do your own thing.
Yeah. Like, that's one thing I'm really kind of worried about if they ever made the Uncharted movie.
Mm-hmm.
The Uncharted movies are basically modern-day Indiana Jones.
Right.
You have these set pieces that, like, you're going on this train, going up car to car on this train. Right. On this, and, like, you have this bit where, like, you've got this, like, helicopter that, some giant machine is chasing you, and it starts flipping through the air at you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, crap, is it going to hit us? It's going to hit us. Then all of a sudden, the train goes through a tunnel.
Okay.
And, like, yeah, it's an awesome, it's an awesome concept, great games, good gameplay, good story. But if they make a movie of that, I don't want you to make an adaptation of the first video game.
Right.
Take the characters and make your own treasure hunting.
Right, yeah. I mean, use elements story. But, yeah, I think that's a huge problem, though. Like, the games are designed to put you into it.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to figure all that out. And when you try to adapt it in, here's the story, let's just do a film version of that,
mm-hmm.
They're two completely different mediums.
Yeah.
And so, I think it's better if you just take the elements of the game, have your own story, work those kind of things in.
Yeah.
But then again, you might end up with, Doom, which was kind of,
That, to their credit, I did watch the scene.
Uh-huh.
They did make a scene where it was in first person.
Right, right.
I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool.
Right. But
but other than that, it was like,
I was in an appliance store.
Uh-huh.
And it was before, because that movie's got some stuff in it that's like, yeah, this should not be playing, like, during, main hours. Yeah. Yeah. And I was in a store, and they had it on, it's just bad. I saw, like, the first half hour. It's just terrible.
Uh-huh.
It was so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But, like, yeah, it's just, like, you want to do that. And, well, then, of course, that's the other thing is, like, if they want to try and adapt a game where it's, like, it's a RPG,
mm-hmm.
people are going to be like, well, that's not my character.
Yeah.
My character wouldn't have made that choice. It's like, well, you've got your video game for that.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Just thinking about the whole Warcraft thing, like, I would much rather they make a Starcraft thing.
Right.
Because it's basically, I'm not trying to, like, compare this to me, but, like, when I saw clips of, and saw, when I saw Starship Troopers, it almost is sort of Starcraft-esque, because you've got, like, humans
mm-hmm.
in these giant mech suits
right.
fighting against these insectoid aliens. But then you've got this third race of aliens that are, like, super technologically advanced mm-hmm. and stuff. And, like, yeah, just there's lots of... The story is really good.
Right.
Or if you're going to have someone do a video game, it would take forever, but it's like, have them do a computer-generated version.
That's what I was thinking, too, like, when we got started on this. Like, why are more of these things not just straight CGI animated?
Yeah. Like, partially because they take forever to make.
That's true.
But I remember, okay, this was not on my list, but it's the Final Fantasy series.
Mm-hmm.
The movie
mm-hmm.
that came out in the theaters, Final Fantasy The Spirit with Sin.
Yeah.
People were like, well, this isn't like the video game.
Right.
This is, they took some elements, and it was okay. I'm sure nowadays, if I went and rewatched, like, oh yeah, the animation's not that good.
Right.
But the same company, the biggest Final Fantasy game that most people have played is Final Fantasy VII, and mm-hmm. they actually made a follow-up movie
mm-hmm.
to the game, and the graphics look amazing.
Right.
The story was interesting. It was meh.
Right.
It was an interesting story, but I'm like, but it had some pretty awesome fight scenes.
Huh.
But yeah, it's just like, yeah, why don't they do that? But it's like, it probably took them like 7 years
right.
to try and make that thing.
Yeah. I know it takes time, but I think that would kind of be an interest. I'd like to at least see it happen once,
Yeah, because like the Blizzard Entertainment mm-hmm. cutscenes.
Right.
They are incredible.
Right. Well, I think that's the problem though. Like when you start mixing in real actors with CGI, it stands out.
So
you're like, oh, the CGI just doesn't look up to par. But if you have CGI human characters, mm-hmm. you can stylize them and whatever. And people are probably going to be like, that looks amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll have to see if the new Tomb Raider reboot somehow breaks this trend.
Right, breaks the mold. I'm hoping it does. All right, next episode is episode 50.
What?
I can't believe that. So we are just going to kind of have a kickback conversation, and don't know what we're going to talk about yet, but we'll just see how it goes. So tune back in.
Thank you for listening to The Cutting Room Floor. Please subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. You can email us at thecuttingroomfloorpodcast@gmail.com.